Testament of the Bible offered to you quite freely. You're simply only for the taking, no cost or no complications, obligations to you, just yours to take and read, meditate upon God's Word. Who knows, but maybe God gives you understanding of himself, and of course, well, what it is that he would require of you. It's God's testimony, don't you know? His record that he has given to us, that we might know his Son and eternal life in his name. So if you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, do feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly, gladly please. Into your hands, no cost, no obligation to you. Of course, wherever you go in the Bible, as I've told you before, wherever you go in the Bible, Jesus, he is to be found. You go to the beginning, the end, anywhere you choose in between, and Jesus is to be found. These, he says, these are they which testify of me. Search the scriptures, he says. You want to find Jesus, look for him in the Bible, anywhere you choose. But of course, I think people, men don't search today because, well, they don't want to find him. For the same reason, a thief doesn't want to find a policeman, you know. Because, well, number one, we know we're in trouble. We know that we are not what we should be. We're not functioning, you know, on the level that, that the Maker intended. We are somewhat, you might say, dysfunctional. But of course, that's what Jesus was sent for, what he came for, to rescue us from that dysfunctionality, but also, of course, much more than that, to rescue us from the consequences of it. You know, that that we might be, well, as my sign here says, you know, straight out of the Bible, shall a man be born again, in order that you might be born again. I see, and sometimes I hear some people reading it, and I can see the question on their faces. What on earth does that mean? Well, reading the Bible, you come to understand what it means. It's when God performs the miracle of his grace in the heart of a man or woman, you know, and he puts his life into their souls and puts his love into their hearts. And they begin to learn, they begin to be instructed in the way that, well, that they ought to live and ought to have been living from the beginning. And that is in a way that glorifies God and enjoys him, of course. There's pleasure, don't you know? We're not talking about religion. We're not talking about, you know, the dead stuff, the museum behind me. Talking about, you know, the living and true God. The God who is the God of the living, not the dead. So you see, the first thing needs happen is that God needs to raise you from the dead, resurrect you from that deadness and sin, raise you up and put life into you in order that he might be your God. Because, well, if you're not living, you know, and I'm not talking about your existence at the moment, I'm talking about having eternal life in your soul, abundant life. I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly, says Jesus. That you, abundant life in your soul? Well, does it look like it from here? If I look around me in Litchfield City today, I don't see many, many with faces, expressions that would convince me that they have abundant life in them. But that's what Jesus came to give. Those, that is, who will return those, that is, who will turn from their sin, from that dysfunctionality. Do you know where it comes from? Do you know where it comes from? You inherited it. You got it from your fathers. That's where you got it from. It comes, it's passed on through the loins of the male, you know, through the generations. A sinful nature. You're conceived, you see, in your mother's womb. You're conceived in sin. And then 9 months later, you're born in sin. And you live in it. You live in the stuff. You live in the dysfunctionality all your days. And then when you're done existing in the world, then, of course, well, it's a lost eternity and a lost opportunity, chance, that is, to get right with God. But, of course, that is for the grace of God through the preaching of the gospel, the good news of the Savior Jesus, appointed and anointed of God and sent into the world to rescue men and women such as you and I from that original, that sin nature in which you are conceived and born and live, in order that you might be rescued from it. Your greatest danger, the outworking of it, the full-blown consequences of it, dreadful horror. Oh, my friends, flee, flee the wrath to come. The present wrath of God that's upon you already because of your departure, apostasy from God, is for that reason. Don't you know that the Bible says, I mean, check it out, offers there, Bible for yourself if you want one, check it out. The wrath of God, it says, is revealed from heaven, even now, against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold down the truth in unrighteousness. You see, my friends, there is no such a thing, don't you know? I know people, they go about calling themselves atheists. There's no such a thing, says God. They don't exist, my friends. There's not one on the planet Earth, not one. Because y'all know, everybody knows that God is. But you're on the run from Him. You're fleeing from Him, frightened of Him. And you do well to be frightened of Him. Because one day He's going to judge you in perfect righteousness by His Son, Jesus Christ. But instead of running away from Him, what you need to do is run towards Him.
Excuse me, sir.
In order that... Pardon?
Can I have a word with you, please?
Yeah, of course you can.
Would you like to step down?
No, I wouldn't, no.
It's private land. This is owned by the City Council. You don't have permission to be here.
Okay.
Alright, so I'll ask you to find somewhere else, please.
Why? Because you don't like the message, yeah? Because you hate it.
Nothing to do with the message. You're on private land, and I'm asking you to leave.
Okay. So is he on private land?
Yes, and he's paid to be here.
Oh, is he? So do I have to pay?
No, you don't. But you do.
No, because you're going to accept my money.
No, you do. That's not what I said. You do have to have permission.
Yeah. I know. I know, madam. I know, madam.
No, I won't.
It's the hatred of the gospel. Your hatred of the gospel. You should be rejoicing. You should be rejoicing, madam. God have mercy on you in that day. Market Square. I take it this is a public road? You on this road as well, do you? No? Okay. Get rid of your hatred for God. Repent and believe the gospel, madam. Repent and believe the gospel while you get the breath of life in you. So like I say, friends, no surprises, you know, the opposition to the gospel, men and women. That's the problem, you see. The deep-seated problem, the hearts of men and women, apostate from God, hatred of God, You know, you could have a load of buskers here. There'd be no complaints, you know, making music. But the gospel, it's an offence. God says it is. It's an offence to the godless. It's an offence to the ungodly. It's an offence to unbelievers. The offence of the cross, they hate it with every fibre of their beings. But that's how you come into the world, don't you know? You see, you're conceived in sin. You come into the world a God-hater. And it's only God can take that hatred, that enmity out of your heart, you know, and bring you to that place of having peace with God and knowing the peace of God. It's what Jesus Christ came for. That's what he was sent for into the world, in order that the sneerers and the mockers... Here we go, here's some more opposition coming up, look. Yeah, like I say, they hate it, every fibre of their being. But my friends, the gospel, the good news of the gospel, Jesus, he came and he lived and he died. He lived that perfect life that you ought to live, that you cannot live because of your sin nature. Impossibility for you. You cannot because you're conceived in sin, you're born in sin. Because you have a nature that is sinful. And my friends, it can only be changed by the miraculous, supernatural grace of God working in you through the preaching of the gospel. But until he does, you hate it. Till he does, you gnash your teeth at it. You sneer. You lift up your voices against it. Turn up the music, you know. Anything to keep you from hearing the good news of the gospel that would bring salvation to you. And bring an end of that enmity, that hatred in your heart against the Almighty. So my friends, I bid you, read God's word for yourself. Educate yourself in the truth of the gospel in order that you might come to a knowledge of what it is that you are in reality. A sinner before God, with a sinful nature out of which comes sinful practice, hating God and hating your neighbor. Isn't that hatred manifest? Your behavior when the gospel is preached amongst you, hating God and hating your neighbor.
Hey, you're
going to
give it over.
Come on. Hating God and hating your neighbor. Yeah? That's the natural state of men and women. Is that not hatred? Is that not writ large all over your society today? Your hatred for your neighbor. What about the unborn? Huh? What about the unborn? What's the abortion figures, I ask you, for the town of Litchfield today? Come to your World Health Organization. In the space of just 1 year, 56 million unborn children ripped from their mother's wombs in the name of abortion. And that, my friends, and you tell me, you come to me, you tell me that lives matter. I don't believe you. You hate your neighbor. That unborn child is your neighbor that you hate and kill in the thousands and the millions. Hatred for God and hatred for your neighbor. That neighbor, my friends, that hatred for your neighbor, I tell you, you give account for in that day. You must needs do it. Come on, dear, come on. You're holding traffic up. Shouldn't be traffic here anyway. So like I say, my friends, the good news of the gospel, you see, that changes, takes the hatred out of your heart. The hatred for your neighbor and the hatred for God. My friends, it's writ large all over your society. It's unavoidable. Unavoidable, my friends. The hatred in your heart for God and for your neighbor. That God sent his Son Jesus Christ into the world in order that that hatred might be removed. That your hardened heart against your neighbor and against God, that it might be melted. that you might have peace with God, the enmity, hatred, the hostility taken out of your heart, and that you might know the peace of God through the forgiveness of God, the mercy, the loving kindness of God. No pressure on God. No pressure on God, my friends, to do anything to help any one of you. But in sending His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, showing His mercy, showing His loving kindness, in giving to the world such a Savior, such a one as Jesus, and of course, raising up His servants in every day and generation, sending them amongst you, even here in Litchfield today. And what do? You try to silence the gospel. That's the revelation of your hatred, man. That's the hatred coming out. That's you expressing the hatred. And you express your hatred for your neighbor by murdering the unborn. That's what abortion is. It's murder. Thou shalt not kill, says God.
No.
A commandment convicts you, my friends. Convicts you and condemns you. And then, of course, at the other end of the spectrum, well, you got euthanasia now. Your National Health Service. When I say NHS, everybody fall down and worship. That's your God. The killing machine that's responsible for more abortions than most abortions in your land. And then euthanasia at the other end. You know, if you've got dementia, you know, or terminally ill, well, the NHS will soon put an end to you, you know, if your relatives so wish. Hatred for God and hatred for your neighbor. That's your natural state and condition. That's your ungodliness. The Bible says the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Why? Because you'll be utterly condemned. You're condemned now. Commandments of God, every one of them, all 10 of them, point the finger at you and condemn you. And they're like 10 great big cannon guns with a divine finger on the trigger, waiting to be pulled at any divinely given moment. And God blow you away into a lost eternity should you breathe your last in your present condition of hatred for God and hatred for your neighbor. This is a time that you can point to, a day, a month maybe, a week maybe, that you can point to and say, well, that's when I was born again. That's when God changed my nature. That's when God took the hatred out of my heart. You see that? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Unless you can point to a time when...
Do you know Matthew 6:5?
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
Tell me. Well, you're going to tell me anyway.
It says, don't preach in the synagogue, so on the street corners.
Doesn't say that.
What did it say?
Go check it out.
I just read it.
Huh?
I just read it.
It says what?
Don't preach on the street corners.
Go read it again. Go read it again.
You don't know, I've just told you.
You've got it wrong. You've got it wrong.
I'll show you.
It doesn't say that.
What's it say?
Well, let me show you. Save your journey, Luke. Say thank you. I'm saving you having to walk in this hot sunshine. Yeah?
It's very hot, isn't it?
Matthew chapter 6:35. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Praying, sir, not preaching. Praying. Read it again. Praying. I'm not praying, I'm preaching, sir.
Preaching.
He says, Matthew 28, check him out, go ye into all the world. Litchfield. Yeah? Under the apostate cathedral. Everywhere.
Man, you're saying you're condemning people, and it's not your job to condemn, it's God's.
You're
judging everybody.
It's a commandment of God that condemns, not me. I'm telling you what the truth says. The truth says, thou shalt not kill.
It's up to God to judge, not you.
And He will judge. I'm not judging you.
You're shouting at everyone that we're all full of hate. That's our natural way.
Yes.
Abortion and all that stuff.
And that's the truth. Well, that's the truth.
Okay, but that's the truth. God to judge.
Well, what is abortion?
Why are you judging?
Is abortion not murder?
Why are you judging?
Is abortion not murder?
I don't believe it is.
Eh?
No?
Oh. You're contrary to God then, aren't you? You're arguing with God. You're fighting with God.
I'm not fighting with God.
Yes, you are. He says, thou shalt not kill.
I'm not killing.
Life is not yours to take.
Okay then, so what would happen if...
So you're a murderer?
No.
Along with all the abortionists, you're a murderer. Because
you're
subscribe
you're
to
fool,
it.
You're a fool, sir.
Okay. It's all I can say, friends. The word of God.
Here,
commandments
leave.
Of God. It's they that condemn you, not me. I don't condemn you. It's the word of God that condemns you. The commandments of God, you see, they condemn. They condemn us all.
You're hateful.
Every time, me, you know. Even myself as a Christian. I open up the word of God and I read those commandments. And they convict me. Because there's none of us have kept them, my friends. But you cannot. Why? You're impotent, powerless to keep them. Why? Because, my friends, you have a sin nature out of which nothing can come but sin. Nothing but hatred for God and hatred for your neighbor. But Jesus came. The Son of God who loved sinners, He came in order to die, in order to die, to manifest the love of God. The only place, I tell you, in all the universe where the love of God is manifest, in the cross of His Son, Jesus Christ. Not on the planet, not on the creatures great and small, one place and one place only, the cross of God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's the manifestation of God's love. And if you despise that, you hold that in contempt, my friends, then God will hold you in contempt for despising the Son of God who loved sinners and gave Himself for them. He died in order that that hatred in your heart might be removed for God and for your neighbor. And that you might be brought to a place where at last, at the very last, you can achieve in your life what you were supposed to achieve right from the very beginning. To glorify God. That's what you were made for. Not to live for self. Selfishness. The letter I, my friends, it's the central letter of the word sin. I. Me. Living for self. That's the capital sin, my friends. And out of that selfishness, that selfish, greedy heart, you know, always lusting for more, always wanting more, never satisfied, never content, because nothing created in all this world can bring satisfaction to any person, my friends. Nothing but the bread of life. The bread of life that came down from heaven. Jesus, the Son of God, He alone can give you satisfaction. He alone can bring you to that place where you can at last say, I have enough, I am content, I have God for my friend, I have eternal life in my soul. But my friends, unless God works it in you, religion won't do it. Your apostate religion won't do it, that's for sure. Have you not seen, have you not noticed? Do you not walk the streets? Do you not see the behavior? Do you not listen to what comes out of the mouths of your fellow men and women and of yourselves too? Do you not manifest the hatred? Do you not hear the uncleanness and the filthiness? What about the stuff that you watch on your screens? The pornography that comes out of Hollywood and elsewhere? Sick society. Haven't you noticed that England's glory is gone? Even its church is apostate. It has returned to its old vomit. That's, my friends, your national church. It's not a church at all. It's a false church. Because it does not tell you what you need to know. Or tell you all kinds of things. Dance for you. It'll maybe give you clothes, maybe food, you know, sing for you, do all kinds of things for you, but my friends, it won't tell you what you need to know. It won't tell you that you are conceived in sin. It won't tell you that you're a sinner by nature, and you've got a nature that's utterly depraved and an abomination to God, and that needs to be altered, changed. But that's the gospel, my friends, that there is forgiveness with God, that there's a way by which you can be reconciled to God. Forgiveness, my God, through the Savior who loved sinners and gave Himself for them, sent by God His Father to die on that cross in order that you might be forgiven, in order when you breathe your last, end of it. Oh, I know, you live under the notion that when you're dead, you're dead. When you breathe your last, that's it, you go out of this world. Finished, end of story. That's not what God says. It's appointed unto man once to die. After this comes the judgment. Then you stand before your Maker. Then you give account, my friend, for that original sin, for that sin nature that you inherited. And then you give account, my friend, says Jesus, for every idle word that you ever speak. And give account for this day when you heard the gospel and did not believe. When you heard the gospel and sought with your music and your complaints to silence the gospel. God will judge you in that day. God will hold you to account in that day. And you will be taken, my friends, and thrown into your own place. Hell, my friends, the place that Jesus speaks about more than any other author of the Bible. The damnation of hell, where the worm dieth not, and where the fire is never quenched. Why is the fire never quenched? Because, my friends, it's never short of fuel. Day by day, thousands, millions feed those fires of the damnation of hell. So, my friends, you see, there's something to escape from. There's the present wrath of God, and then there's the wrath to come. The fullness, the fierceness of God's wrath that's to be visited upon you. Unrepentant, unbelieving. So this is the command, repent ye and believe the gospel. Turn. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Repentance, in other words, a turnaround. Cataclysmic change, my friends. Deep within you, deep within your heart, my friends. Deep within your soul. A brokenness of heart. Sorrow, lamenting, crying, weeping with tears before the cross of God's Son. God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. A change, a revolution. Radical revolution in the heart, my friends. A turnaround. What kind of power do you think? What kind of power do you think it takes to turn around a ship like the Titanic? I don't know. I'm not an engineer. But what kind of power do you think it would take to turn a wicked sinner like you around? What kind of power do you think it would take to change the vicious nature of a God-hating man, a neighbor-hating man or woman? What kind of power do you think that would take? It would take more power than all your religions in the world. It would take all the power of God, the power of God unto salvation, the gospel. The mighty, mighty Jesus, his power, he alone has such power. Said following his resurrection, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And my friends, the power to change your vicious nature. The change, my friends. Oh, my friends, tremendous. A heart change. Let the wicked forsake his way, his practice of living, because it's ungodly, unrighteous, unholy, unacceptable to God. Let the wicked forsake, abandon his way. But my friends, you won't do that. You won't do that as long as you live in luxury here in the city of Litchfield. You're in decent luxury that you live in. Your field houses and your fancy cars. Indecent luxury. Oh, what do you need God for? What do you need Jesus Christ for? You've got it all here in Litchfield. You don't need the gospel. You're okay. Or so you think. Let the wicked forsake his way, says God. And the unrighteous man is thinking. You're thinking's wrong. You're not rich, you're poor, you're naked, you're blind. You're destitute of righteousness before God. But he gives you the riches of the gospel. your modern Lichfield society. God will judge you for these things. The judge is before the door, says Jesus, and soon to be opened, and you'll be ushered into the presence of the judge to give account, my friends, for all these indecencies, for all this and more. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. What about the plethora of gods that you've brought into your nation? Heathen gods, heathen religions. Do you know how many there are? Come to the Oxford University Press. You've got 9,900 in the world today, and not an ounce of salvation in any one of them. Not in the Church of England, the Church of Rome, not in Mecca, not in Buddha, Confucius. No salvation. Not an ounce of salvation in any other save Jesus Christ in any other name. Neither is there salvation in any other name. None other name under heaven by which you must be saved. I am the way, says Jesus, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. My friends, the gospel, you need it like you don't know how. You think you're rich, you think you're well off, you think you have no need of nothing, you think you're good to go, I'm okay, I'm a respectable person, you say. That's outwardly, that's in front of everybody else. But behind closed doors, God knows what you're like there. He knows what you're like in your heart. In your heart, my friend, religion can't take that out of you. Only a living Savior can do that. Only a person, only Jesus, only the Son of God, only He can take that filthy lust out of your heart and give you a new heart. But you'll never want that, you see, until He changes your heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, says God. And a deceitful heart, which you have, will always gravitate towards the deceitful. Will always gravitate towards that which is false. That's why you embrace nonsense like evolution. That's why you embrace false religion. You'll embrace any nonsense, any tripe, any lie at all, anything at all but the truth. And because you don't receive a love of the truth, God gives you over to strong delusion. To believe the lie and live out of the lie. That's Britain. That's your great Britain. That's your not so great Britain. That's your Lichfield city. Living out of the lie. Living the lie. Not living the dream. Living the lie, my friend. Given over to strong delusion. To believe, my friend. Even that which is unnatural. You know, men with men and women with women. It's unnatural. It's ungodly. It's unholy. It's unrighteous. It's displeasing to God, my friend. That's why you believe. That's why you believe and accept the notion. You know, that a man can become a woman, a woman a man. Strong delusions. What you're given over to by God. Because you do not receive a love of the truth, you hate the truth. Hate God, hate your neighbor, and hate the truth. And so that's what He gives you over to. Blindness of mind, reprobate minds, to do that, says God, which is unfitting, unsuitable, even for animals to do, never mind human beings. That's your state. I'm only touching the surface. You think this is bad? You don't know nothing. You need to read the Bible. You really, really do. I'm only just scratching the surface. It's much, much worse than I'm telling you. I'm only just giving you a glimpse of the reality of your being. That's what the Bible is, my friend. It's a revelation of God, what He's like. He's holy. He's the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And my friends, he's of purer eyes than to behold evil. He will not even look upon you. Touch your righteousnesses, because they are as filthy rags. My friends, God is a holy God, and he will not have your unholiness in his presence. He will not look upon it, not touch it. But it's also a revelation of what you and I, what we are truly like. Not nice people, not good people, not respectable people, but the very opposite. Depraved to the uttermost of our beings, and capable of the worst crime that you could possibly imagine. You think you could never be an Adolf Hitler? You think you could never be a Joseph Stalin? You kid yourself. You delude yourself. You're just as capable of horrific crimes just as they were. So you see, my friends, it's the reality, and that's what you need. That's what Litchfield needs. It's cathedral. It's town. It needs a wake-up call. It needs a reality check. The reality of what you really, truly are before God. A sinner, wicked, ruined, and undone. Right from the very beginning, before you even breathed your first breath, when you were conceived in your mother's womb, that's where all the wickedness began. That's the spark that set it in motion. Yeah? Conception in your mother's womb. And then 9 months later, you were born in sin, shapen, formed in iniquity, lawlessness. And that's how you've lived. And that's how you do live. That's how you are living now. The worst of you and the best of you in the city of Litchfield. That's how you live. Unacceptable to God. Ungodly, unholy, unrighteous. And unless you're born again, as one good bishop said, there's not many of them around now, but one good bishop said, if you're not born again, the day will come when you wish you had never been born at all. Yeah. You wish you had never been born at all. You must be born again. Said the man, be born again. And that's not something that you can do. You had no part in your natural birth. You didn't ask your parents, can you have me? You didn't ask your parents, can I be a boy? Can I be a girl? You had no say in the matter. And you've got no say in the matter of the spiritual birth. Unless God shows mercy. Unless God pities you. Unless God sends you his servants. Truth, as it is in Jesus. Unless you receive a love of the truth about God and about yourself, my friends, there's no way back to God. No way. My friends, it's the truth, Jesus says, that will make you free. Only the truth. As long as you believe the lie, you're stuck in the sin. You're stuck in that old nature. You'll die in it and go to a lost eternity in it. Perish. The way of the ungodly shall perish. But whosoever believeth on the Son, that is, shall not perish, shall have everlasting life. God's commandment is that you should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, and thou shalt be saved. Salvation, my friends, that's what it's about. I needed salvation. But as long as you live in denial, as long as you live like the ostrich with your head buried in the sand, I'm okay. God will go away. Eternity won't come. But it will. It will. COVID-19 has taken its thousands. But the virus of sin has taken its billions. Since Adam first sinned. So my friends, you see, you've got a problem. who believe, but for those who stumble. You know, some people, they come to Jesus and they look at him and they hear what he has to say and they don't like him. They hold him in contempt and they stumble. They fall over him. But what they don't know is, what they don't realize is, they stumble into an unseen pit. They stumble into a lost eternity, the damnation of hell. Rejecting Christless souls of men and women. The end of it, my friend, the end of it is that you will perish. The way of the ungodly shall perish. But the way to everlasting is through God's Son, Jesus Christ.
Hello. Hi. Hello.
Yeah.
What denomination are you from?
Presbyterian.
Are you Presbyterian?
Yeah. Scotland.
Are you Scotland?
Yeah. Okay, wonderful. Glad to hear it. They don't like the gospel here. In fact, they drive me out. Sorry, last year I was thrown out of there, and then him came with the music trying to drive me out. You know. But we expect that, like, you know, we expect that. The poor souls, like, you know. Yeah. I was once there myself. Yeah. Thanks for stopping by, yeah? God bless you. So my friends, you know, eternal life in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's what I'm here to tell you. There's a way out. There's a way of escape. But the Bible asks you the question, puts the question to you. How shall you escape if you neglect and if you reject so great salvation? The Bible doesn't answer the question because the answer is logical. You will not escape. Because it's the only salvation there is. It's the only escape route. It's the only way out. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, sent enormous cost, my friends. Son of God, sent into the world specifically and particularly to be nailed to a cross. Dead and buried. The wrath of God poured out upon him due to sinners. Of God's family to as many. He came to his own and they received him not just like Lichfield, just like Lichfield, just like Lichfield Cathedral. Came to his own, but his own received him not. They didn't want him. Away with him. Crucify him, they said. Crucify him. Get him out of our sight. We don't want to hear about him here in Lichfield or anywhere else.
Hey buddy,
yeah.
You can't stand in the road and do this.
Can I?
You can't stand on the square.
People in this place?
No, not at all.
You want me out?
We've got a cathedral that's full every weekend.
Hi. Yeah, full of dead souls.
Well.
There's no gospel in there, sir.
Oh, I don't know.
No gospel in there. That's not mine.
No.
That's the opposition.
They hate the gospel.
They hate the gospel. That's your religious. The religious are the worst of them all, sir. I'll go on the pavement, look. One. The pavement's good, eh? Hmm? Nothing wrong with the pavement, eh? They're all gospel-hating people, sir. All gospel-hating people. They hate God and they hate their neighbor. They think, you know, that they got a religious cathedral, like, you know, so they think that makes them okay. A religious cathedral, you know, the representation of the Church of England, that's utterly and thoroughly apostate, don't you know? There's no gospel in there. It's a museum. It's a museum, it's not a church. It's a false. If it's a church at all, it's a false one. No, my friends, there's no help for you there. You might find some books, they might feed you some coffee, but that's the best they can do. They won't tell you about your sin. They won't tell you about your deep crying need. They won't tell you about the need of your soul. They won't tell you about Jesus. They won't tell you the truth. They'll stroke you, you know. They'll stroke you and they'll sing lullabies for you, pleasant music, and they'll send you away feeling good about yourself. But my friends, that's no good. That's no good because you got to feel bad. You got to get the diagnosis right first of all. And God gives you the diagnosis in His Word. I'm not asking you to take my word for these things. Yeah? You see the opposition. Ask yourself, why do they hate the preaching of the gospel in Lichfield? Huh? Why do they hate it? Ask yourself that question. Because what I'm telling you is the truth, that's why. Because that's their nature. That's all of us born into this world. But my friends, you don't have to take my word for these things. Take God's word. God's word, my friends. Read and see the evidence for yourself. Check it out. What God says about human nature in the raw. Yeah? You know, some people, they tell me that they think that men wrote the Bible. You reckon? You reckon men wrote the Bible? You reckon it's not from God? How would you describe yourself? A good person? A nice person? Respectable person, sir? How would you describe human nature? Well, listen, here's how the Bible describes it, yeah? Filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but of pleasure in them that do them. Do you think if men wrote the Bible? Do you think if men were responsible for the words in the Bible? Do you think they would describe themselves in that way? No, not at all, my friends. But that is the reality. That is the reality. So it's no wonder. It's no wonder, my friends, that people hate it. And it's no wonder they hate the gospel preacher. It's no wonder. No wonder they want him out of town. No wonder they shy at the bank. I'm glad that's not my bank. I shouldn't be out of it. The cathedral doesn't want you. The bankers don't want you. The cops don't want you. Nobody wants you. Get out of town, preacher. Get out of Lichfield. We don't want you. We don't want your gospel. We don't want your Christ. We don't want to hear about our sin. We want to feel good. We want to feel nice. Even though we're not really. I tell you this. Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth?
I think you need to turn it down.
Okay.
Carry on.
Okay, there we go. 1, 2. So like I say, friends, you know, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Can I tell you the truth, my friend? The truth that would make you free, says Jesus.
So everybody isn't wanting to listen to this. It might be what you believe, but everybody doesn't want to listen.
I've got a right to do this, sir. Huh? I've got a right under law to do it. You need to check it out, sir. I've got a copy of the law here in my bag if you want to check it out.
Everybody doesn't want to hear it.
I know that. I don't want to listen to their buskers. Him from the cathedral has been playing music here since I got here. I don't want to hear that. Tell him to shut it up and I'll shut up. Listen, I'm gone in 5 minutes. Just let me finish. 5 minutes, that's all. So like I say, friends, like I say, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Ask yourself the question, why do they hate it? Why do they hate it? Why do they want the gospel preacher out of town? Ask yourself that question. Somebody comes with the love of God to you, the love of Jesus Christ for sinners, that you could be healed, that you could be made well, and that you could have the assurance of eternal life and the knowledge that when you die, when you breathe your last, you're going to heaven. Huh? Now tell me that's not good news. Tell me that's not good news. And ask yourself the question, why do they hate it? Why does the cathedral, that's supposed to be religious, right? Why do they want me out of here? Why does the banker want me out of here? Why does this cop want me out of here?
Right, okay.
So like I say, friends, like I say,
that is enough.
The word of God. The word of God, my friends.
That's enough now.
No.
Yes, it is.
No, you can't stop me.
You're not abusing me.
You've got no authority to stop me.
Yeah.
And what authority, sir? And what law? Tell me the law.
Huh?
Tell me the law. Tell me the law.
You're abusing me.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you were.
I'm speaking to you.
Yeah, you were. No,
I'm speaking to you. I'm not slagging you
off. Yes, you were.
Listen, sir, this is recorded.
Everybody heard.
This is recorded.
Right, okay.
Okay? So I'm quite willing to go to court with it. Anyway, I'm gone, friend. You want a copy of God's Word? You come and ask for one. Gladly place it into your hands. Yours for the taking, freely. No cost, no obligation to you. The Word of God, able to make you wise unto salvation. You'd like one, you come and ask for one before I go. May God bless you. Bless you and have mercy. Mercy upon your precious, never dying souls. That's all be it.